Well, let's open our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's stand together that we might honor the reading of God's Word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the departure comes first. Then the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged, who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Lord, as we continue to anticipate that the return is near, is imminent, for the coming of Jesus in the air for us. Lord, we think tonight about those especially who have not yet believed, who do not believe, who are not saved. And when that moment comes, they will be left to face an awful, awful time of your wrath, of your judgment, and of the deception of the Antichrist. So, Lord, may this move us tonight to love and speaking the truth of the gospel. And Lord, may someone even listening in tonight be saved because they've been warned by this message. So take it and use it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last time we looked at some important rapture truths, and especially from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5. We did end up last time here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and so we'll begin tonight where we left off last Sunday evening. The rapture of the church, chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. That is the rapture of the church, the gathering of the church to Jesus in the air. Then last time in chapter 2, verse 3, we reviewed at some length the word apostasia and how that should be in verse 3 translated departure, that the departure comes first. And in the context, the departure would be the departure of the church from the earth. So the apostasia in verse 3 is the rapture. Now, we spent more time on that last week. Someone asked me, well, why did you talk about the people who disagree with you and have written against this view? Well, I talk about it because for all of these years, I have never slipped something in to slide something past you. Never. If someone has a different viewpoint, I expose it. And I want you to know, and it's important that not everybody agrees with us on this. But I trust you will agree from last time that the translation of departure of apostasia is the translation that best fits the context of what's going on here. And it was in English the way the word was translated until the time of the King James Version. And the King James Version is what messed a lot of people up on this word. So departure is the translation, the day of the Lord. Then in verses 2 and 3, what we demonstrated last time is the rapture of the church. Remember, that was 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, comes before the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 4 comes before 5. So it's actually rather simple and clear in our Bibles that the rapture must be before the day of the Lord or the tribulation period. The day of the Lord is what is being spoken of in verse 2, that the day of the Lord has come. There were those who apparently were communicating and getting the Thessalonians all concerned that the tribulation had already started. And they were in it, the day of the Lord. Paul says, but the day of the Lord can't come until the rapture comes first. So we spoke of the day of the Lord last time, and that day of the Lord is a time of judgment. Judgments of God poured out on the earth, and we saw clearly all 7 years of that portion of the day of the Lord are the wrath of God. We also saw that believers are not destined for the wrath of God. A saved person does not face or experience the wrath of God. That was all cared for on the cross by Jesus. He took the wrath on the cross. So we've looked at the rapture and the day of the Lord last time. Now as we continue tonight in verse 3, we see then that after the rapture, the departure of the church comes, beginning of verse 3, then the man of lawlessness is revealed. So we're talking now about the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be revealed after the rapture. Okay? That's just obvious from reading verse 3. There are titles for the Antichrist here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 3, you see he's referred to as the man of lawlessness. Also in chapter 2, verse 3, he's called the son of destruction. In chapter 2, verse 8, he is called that lawless one. In chapter 2, verse 9, he is called the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan. The one of Satan. Now, we will not take the time this evening to look at all of the titles and names, references to Antichrist. There are a number of them, but let's just recall a few others. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, he is referred to as the little horn. The little horn. Was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them. Daniel chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings will arise. Another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones and will subdue 3 kings. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. He will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. So the little horn, chapter 8, verse 9 of Daniel. Out of one of them came forth a rather small horn, which grew exceedingly great. So the little horn of Daniel and this man of lawlessness are the same. Daniel chapter 9, he is referred to as the prince to come. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, after the 62 weeks, 7 weeks were referred to in Daniel 9:25, then 62 in Daniel 9:26. So we have the up through the 69th week. So after these 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. That was the death of Jesus in 32 AD. Then the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, the prince who is to come is the Antichrist. The Antichrist had a people, even at the time of Jesus, and those people were the Romans. And so the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, and the sanctuary, its end will come with the flood. Even to the end, there'll be war. Desolations are determined. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. People satanically motivated destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70. And he, that is the prince who is to come, verse 27, will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. That's the 70th week of Daniel, a 7-year period that is yet future. It's yet to come. So this prince who is to come will make a firm covenant with the many. The many are the many of Israel, and that is for 1 week, for 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. And we'll think more about some of those details in a few moments. So the prince who is to come is a title of Antichrist. And of course, in 1 John chapter 2, we see him referred to as the Antichrist. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, children, it is the last hour. Just as you heard that Antichrist is coming. Now, this is significant. That word is singular. Antichrist is coming. But then he says, even now, many antichrists have appeared. Well, there, the word is plural. Many antichrists have appeared, but there is one antichrist coming. So many antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They, verse 19, that is the antichrist, went out from us, for they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. So, an Antichrist, but many Antichrists already here. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Many antichrists. There were many antichrists in Paul's day, in John's day, and there continue to be many antichrists in our day. And John gave a couple significant indicators of who these antichrists are. One, they deny that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, God come in the flesh. Jesus being the God-man. And in particular, they deny not so much the deity of Jesus. They deny the full humanity of Jesus. Yeah, that Jesus is God, the Messiah, in the flesh. And there are many, and there are many even here around you whose teaching about Jesus is that Jesus only took human form, but that Jesus was not really human. Okay? That was the teaching of Menno Simons. And that is the understanding of those who follow Menno Simons, known as Mennonites. That's their understanding of Jesus. May I say it this way? The Mennonite Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. No. It's not the same Jesus. That teaching is Antichrist. It's Antichrist. So, many Antichrists, the spirit of lawlessness already at work, but there is one future Antichrist coming. He's also given the title the Beast in Revelation 11:7. The Beast has the two witnesses killed. Revelation 13:1-8, the Beast is satanically empowered, does false miracles, demands worship from everyone on earth. Revelation 13:17, there is the mark of the Beast, without which no one will be able to buy or sell anything. And there are a number of other titles and references to the Antichrist throughout the Bible, but we won't look at all of those tonight. We've looked at them before. Now in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 5 through 7, we see that the Antichrist is presently restrained. Verse 5, Paul says, I've told you these things. I've told you these things before. Verse 6, he says, you know what restrains him now. Something is restraining Antichrist now, so that in his time he will be revealed. The Antichrist has not been revealed yet. He is restrained. He's restrained by one in verse 7 who restrains him until that one who restrains him is taken out of the way. Now, a similarity in language indicates to us this is the Holy Spirit. One of the indications is at one point here the word Spirit is in the neuter, and then it's in the masculine. Well, you know what? That matches what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John 14. So the Holy Spirit, and it would be the Holy Spirit taken out of the way when the church is raptured. Oh, you do know the Holy Spirit as the third person of the being of God can't really be taken out of the way. Do you know why? He's omnipresent. You can't take God out of the way. God is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. But the Holy Spirit has a particular ministry living in, abiding in believers of this church age. And so at the rapture, when the church is taken out, the Holy Spirit, in that sense of his work through the church, is taken out. Now, I explain this because there are a handful of explanations about the one who restrains here in these verses. Some would say it's the Archangel Michael who is restraining the Antichrist. I understand some of their thinking, but that does not fit the text here. So the Holy Spirit is the obvious answer to the question, who is the one now who restrains the Antichrist? I've received hundreds, probably more than hundreds, of questions throughout the years. Well, who is the Antichrist? Can you tell me who the Antichrist is? You know, they want to know his name. I suppose so then they can go shoot him or something. I don't know. But they want to know his name. They try to figure it out. What is this? Listen, the Antichrist is restrained right now. The Antichrist is not out there running around out in the open. He may well be alive, but he's restrained. Now, what will be future actions of the Antichrist? And here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you see in verse 3 that the man of lawlessness will be revealed. Now, when is he revealed? After the rapture. He's not revealed before the rapture. Say, well, but I'm really trying to figure out who the Antichrist is. Well, if that's what you're so intent on figuring out, maybe you're not saved. You know? Because we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ. He comes. After the rapture, then the Antichrist will be revealed. Chapter 2, verse 6. He's restrained so that in his time he will be revealed. Chapter 6, verse 8, then that lawless one will be revealed. He will be revealed in the future after the rapture of the church. Now, there may be some when he is initially revealed who will get the indication. Remember what we read in Daniel 9:27? He will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, 7 years. That, the making of that covenant between Antichrist and Israel, is what marks the beginning of the 7 years. The 7 years don't begin with the rapture. They begin after the rapture. And they begin with the signing of a covenant. Now, I don't know. There may be some people in the tribulation who are left behind. There may be some people that will go, oh, he signed this covenant with Israel. Isn't there something about that in the Bible? You know? And some may get an inkling that this is that prince who is to come. That this is the Antichrist. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, as the seals are broken, the very first seal that is broken open shows a rider on a white horse who goes forth conquering and to conquer. That is not Jesus. That's a counterfeit of Jesus. That's the Antichrist, who will be revealed even at the very beginning of the tribulation period. So he will be revealed. If you're saved, you won't be here to see it. Say, praise God. Okay? Now, the Antichrist also will oppose all gods, all religions. He will exalt himself. Here's how we read it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship. That too is what we read in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, you'll speak out against the Most High, wear down the saints of the Highest One. Daniel chapter 11. Daniel Daniel chapter 11, starting at verse 36. Then the king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god, will speak monstrous things against the God of gods, and will prosper until the indignation, the tribulation, is finished. For that which is decreed will be done. He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers, or the desire of women, nor will he show regard for any other god, for he will magnify himself above them all. But instead he will honor a god of fortresses, Satan, a god whom his fathers did not know. He will honor him with gold, silver, costly stones, and treasures. He will take action against the strongest of fortresses with the help of a foreign god. He will give great honor to those who acknowledge him, and will cause them to rule over the many, and will parcel out land for a price. Antichrist will oppose all gods and will set himself up as the god to be worshiped. And as we'll think about in a moment, if you worship or acknowledge some other god other than Antichrist, you will be killed. Okay, that's the way life will be in the tribulation. So, are we in the tribulation now? Not yet. Okay, that's why Paul's writing this, so that we're not deceived about this. In 2 Thessalonians 2:4, he will take his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. This is what in Daniel 9:27 is referred to as the abomination of desolation. Antichrist coming into the temple. By the way, that certainly implies that by the middle of the 7-year tribulation period, after the first 3.5 years, the middle of the tribulation period, there must be a Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Now, the temple that Jews are looking forward to now, they refer to it as the third temple that is coming, but they're thinking of the millennial temple, which will actually be a fourth temple. This temple, the tribulation temple, is different. And this will be the one that Antichrist desecrates at the midpoint of the tribulation period. Even Jesus, in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, referred to this. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, this is what Jesus said. He said, when you see that, realize that that's where you are. Okay? So at the midpoint of the tribulation period, the Antichrist seats himself in the temple, goes into the very holy of holies, seats himself there, and proclaims himself to be God. Antichrist will do satanic miracles and deception in 2 Thessalonians 2:9. His coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. You know, there are still people who think that anything miraculous must be good and it must be from God. Do you know Satan does miracles? Just because something is miraculous, just because something is supernatural, doesn't mean it's God. It could be a deception. Well, Antichrist will do all kinds of things like that. Revelation chapter 13, verses 2 through 4. The dragon, Satan, gave him, the beast, his power and his throne and great authority. One of his heads, as if it had been slain, his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him?" So satanically miraculous that he will pull off a counterfeit resurrection. A counterfeit physical resurrection. A fatal wound, that means he dies from it, but then he's healed from it. And he is alive, supernaturally charged by the devil. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, "With all the deception of wickedness for those who perish." He will be deceiving. False miracles. So all of this is to come in the tribulation period. Now, I don't know. There are always people, you know, who think somehow it's only right that you should go through the tribulation period. You know, some of you might recall Pat Robertson's teaching on this. And Pat Robertson said one day, "Praise the Lord, we're going through the tribulation." To which I said, "What's wrong with you?" You know, it will be a time of such satanic deception. Why in the world would you want to even praise the Lord that you're going through that? Okay, that is not what believers in Christ were destined for. Not at all. Now, the Antichrist will experience future destruction. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring an end to an end by the appearance of his coming. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, at the second coming of Jesus to the earth, we read, the beast was seized with him, the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. End of Antichrist. So there is his ending. Daniel 9:27 actually says that he will continue the breaking of the covenant that he makes with Israel until his destruction, which is decreed, will come upon him. So the Antichrist will have a future career and then will ultimately be destroyed. So I don't say, praise God, you're going through the tribulation. I say, praise God, you are raptured before the tribulation even begins. This is consistent with the grace of God. Do you know, people who teach that the church has to go through the tribulation or part of the tribulation or whatever, inevitably also deny eternal security. Yeah. Because they think you need to get beaten up a little bit more to prove that you're really saved. They end up denying eternal security. Okay. So the rapture comes. Antichrist is revealed. The day of the Lord begins. What about those who do not get raptured? They are left behind. Well, 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, this is because they did not believe. They didn't receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. If you get left behind, it is because you're not saved. You didn't receive the love of the truth. Chapter 2, verse 12 says, they did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. they will be left to face this. Now, this is a question that I've also had hundreds of times. Can those people who are left behind be saved? Do they get some kind of a second chance or something like that? And the answer to that question is no. They don't get a second chance, and they will not be saved. And we're seeing why in these verses. Now, that does not mean that there is no one who will be saved during the tribulation period. There will be people saved during the tribulation period. Jesus said, Matthew 24, verse 14, that the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the Gentile nations during the tribulation period. In Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 7, a great multitude of Gentiles from around the world will be saved during the first quarter of the tribulation period. How will that happen? Through the ministry of the two witnesses and the 144,000 during the first half of the tribulation. So many will be saved. But those who are saved will not be people who have heard the gospel today and rejected it. Those people will never be saved. Now here's why. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. For this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. It is God who will send on them, those who have been left behind because they rejected the gospel, God will send a deluding influence upon them through the Antichrist, through the evil going on in the world, and he will do that so that they will believe what is false. God brings the deluding influence upon them. Now, I know you don't like that God would do that kind of thing. I listed in your notes tonight a whole list of Old Testament verses where God does precisely that. God sends out evil spirits to deceive people because those people are being judged. God does that, and that is what will happen to those left behind during the tribulation. And they will end up believing what is false. And then chapter 2, verse 12 says, in order that they may all be judged. They will all be judged. They believe what is false. Again, I've had people over the years say to me, well, I'll just sort of take my chances and I'll wait. And, you know, if I realize that all you guys are gone one day and that the rapture has come, then I'll believe and I'll be saved. And I have to say to them, oh, no, you won't. If that's what you do and you get left behind, you will be deluded by God deliberately so that you will believe a lie. You won't understand what just happened. You'll believe a lie and you will be judged. You will be judged by tribulation judgments, the wrath of God, and you will be judged in the lake of fire forever, sentenced there at the great white throne judgment. That's what will be coming. If you reject the message now, there's no second chance. There's no future opportunity for you. There will be opportunities in the tribulation for those who have not heard. They've not heard. They've not rejected the gospel. There will be opportunities for them. But not for people who have heard and rejected. So now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. So this is what Paul says in Thessalonians about what is coming. You know, you go many places today, including a lot of churches. And if you would teach a message like I've just done this evening about the Antichrist and the tribulation, you will get mocked and laughed out of those churches. Do you know that? Oh, it's true. It's true. All that is to say, there are those all around you who say, well, I go to church every Sunday. Yeah, but you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe what the Bible teaches, and your church doesn't believe what the Bible teaches. And the church doesn't teach the Bible, and these things are, you know, and people say, well, but I just stay away from anything that has to do with prophecy. Do you realize that more than one-fourth of your Bible is prophecy? So if somebody says, I don't want to have anything to do with prophecy, they're saying, I don't want to have anything to do with one-fourth of the Bible. Okay? That doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? All right? This is where things are even now. Is the message of what is to come, is this a message that should be on your lips to people, people that you meet say, well, but they're not saved. Yeah, well, that ought to be on your lips to them. Well, they are saved. Well, that ought to be on your lips to them too. These should be topics of great discussion. You say, well, but we're not looking for Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ. That's right. That's right. So how much is being spoken and shared and taught about him? And you can say, well, but that person's my neighbor, or that person's my friend, or that person's my schoolmate, or my work associate, or whatever. Okay, and the rapture comes, and they get left behind. Say, but I didn't want to offend them. Oh, well, how offended do you think they'll be in the tribulation? I didn't want to offend them. So may this be something that causes every believer to think about those who will be left behind. Of course, it causes every believer to rejoice that we're going. We won't be left behind. We'll be with the Lord. Of course, we rejoice in that. But there will be those left behind to face this awful time that is coming. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the promises of your word for your people. And we thank you for even the warnings and threats that you give for those who are lost. For Lord, you do it tonight out of love. You give this advance warning that people might even now believe and be saved. Lord, may that be so for someone this evening. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who indwells the church. Thank you, Lord, that as this people goes forth tonight into this week to come, that they go indwelt, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered, as Jesus said, to be witnesses. You shall be witnesses when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So, Lord, thank you for this day in your word. Thank you for our fellowship around your word. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.